Welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. Unfortunately, every day I live my life as Dune. I will be hosting part two of The Girl Who Cried Monster. Normally I ramble a bit here, but I'm really excited to get up part one of Night of the Living Dummy, read by Nick Sleaze, and I listened to it. Incredible. He did a great job. He's no me, but very few people have to deal with being me. Anyway, Drinking Ice House. We are on chapter 11. My first thought was to run. My next thought was to slam the front door. My next thought was to run back upstairs and hide in my room. But it was too late. Mr. Mortman had already seen me. He was staring at me through the screen door with those beady black eyes. An evil, thin-lipped smile on his pale, round face. He saw me, I realized. He saw me spying on him at the library. He saw me run away. He knows that I know his secret. He knows that I know he's a monster, and he's come to get me. He's come to get rid of me, to make sure his secret is safe. Lucy, he called. I stared at him through the screen. I could see in his eyes that he knew it had been me at the library. The sun had nearly gone down. The sky behind him was sunset purple. His face looked even paler than usual in the evening light. Lucy, hi, it's me, he said. This is awkward because my neighbor right to the front is named Lucy, and I just stopped by her place to return this bowl. She's just a sweet old Mexican lady, and she made some homemade soup and gave it to me. It was incredible, and I ate it. And then I returned the bowl after I washed it. But I feel awkward because her screen door's open, and I'm like 15 feet away yelling her name. Anyway, Lucy, hi, it's me, he said. He was waiting for me to say something, but I was frozen there in panic, trying to decide whether to run or to scream, or both. Randy had stopped halfway down the stairs. Who is it? He asked. It's Mr. Mortman, I replied softly. Oh. That was what my little brother said. He came the rest of the way down, then walked past me on his way back to the den. Hi, Mr. Mortman, I managed to say, not moving any closer to the door. Then I blurted out, my parents aren't home. Smooth move, X-Lass. X. Fuck. I knew instantly that it was a dumb thing to say. Now the monster knew that Randy and I were here alone. Why did I say that? I asked myself. How could I be so stupid? I didn't come to see your parents, Mr. Mortman said softly. I came to see you, Lucy. He knows, I thought. He really knows. I'm dead meat. I swallowed hard. I didn't know what to say, my eyes searching the front hallway for a weapon, something to hit him with when he broke through the screen door and came after me. Mr. Mortman's eyes narrowed. His smile faded. This is it, I thought. There was nothing around that I could use to fight him off. A little glass flower vase. That's all I could see. I didn't think it would be too effective against a roaring monster. Lucy, I believe this belongs to you, Mr. Mortman said. He held up my blue canvas backpack. Huh? I found it in the stacks, Mr. Mortman said, his smile returning. I didn't know you had left it, but I found your name and address on the tag here. You mean, I stammered. I always walk home after I close the library, so I thought I'd bring it to you, he said. Was this a trap? I studied his face warily. I couldn't tell what he was thinking. I had no choice. I pushed open the screen door and he handed me the backpack. Wow, thanks, I said. That was really nice of you. He straightened the sleeves of his yellow turtleneck. Well, I figured you'd probably want to get started on Anne of Green Gables tonight, he said, completely incorrectly. Yeah, sure, I replied uncertainly. I guess you ran out of the library pretty quickly, Mr. Mortman said, staring into my eyes. I had to get home, I told him, glancing back to the den, the cartoon music floating into the hallway. So, you didn't wait around or anything after our appointment? He asked. Does he know, I wonder, or is he just trying to find out if it was me or not? No, I said, trying to keep my voice from shaking. I ran right out. I was in a hurry. I guess I forgot my bag. Okay, that's why. Because I was running. I was really trying to be as quick as possible. Sorry, I was in a rush. Oh, I see, Mr. Mortman replied thoughtfully, rubbing his chins. Why? I blurted out. The question seemed to surprise him. Oh, It's nothing, really, he said. I think someone was playing a trick on me, staying in the library after closing.
Really?
I asked, opening my eyes wide and trying to sound as innocent as possible.
Why would they do that? Books are for loose...
never mind. To scare me, Mr. Mortman answered, chuckling. Some kids don't have anything better to do than try to scare the kindly old librarian. But you're not a kindly old librarian, I thought. You're a fucking monster. I got up to look around, Mr. Mortman continued, and whoever it was hightailed it. He chuckled again. I wouldn't want to be locked in there overnight, I said, studying his face, hoping my innocent act was working.
Neither would I, he exclaimed. It's a pretty creepy old building. Sometimes I get so scared from all the strange creaks and groans.
Yeah, sure, I thought sarcastically. Behind him, I saw my parents' car turn into the driveway. I breathed a silent sigh of relief. Thank goodness they were finally home. Guess I'll say goodnight, Mr. Mortman said pleasantly. He turned and watched as my parents rolled past him up the driveway, heading to the back of the house. Thanks for bringing my bag, I said, eager to greet Mom and Dad. No problem. See you next week. He hurried away. I went running to the kitchen. Mom was just coming in through the kitchen door, carrying a brown grocery bag. Wasn't that Mr. Mortman at the front door? She asked, surprised. Yeah, I answered eagerly. I'm so glad to see you, Mom. I have to tell you.
What did he want? Mom interrupted.
He returned my backpack? I left at the library, see? I have to tell you about him, Mom.
That was really nice of him, Mom said, setting the grocery bag down on the counter. How come you forgot it, Lucy?
I ran out of there really fast, Mom. You see, well, that was really nice of Mr. Mortman, she interrupted again. She started to remove things from the grocery bag. He doesn't live in this direction. I think he lives all the way over on the north side.
Mom, I'm trying to tell you something, I cried impatiently. My hands were balled into tight fists. My heart was pounding. Mr. Mortman is a monster!
Huh? She turned away from the counter and stared at me. He's a monster, Mom. A real one. I cried.
Lucy, Lucy. She shook her head.
You see monsters everywhere.
Mom, stop it, Lucy. Stop being dumb. I hope you were polite to Mr. Mortman.
Mom.
There's an apostrophe in the middle.
Enough. Go outside and help your father bring in the rest of the groceries.
Chapter 12.
So, once again, my wonderful parents refused to believe me. I tried to describe what I had seen from my hiding place in the library, but Mom just shook her head. Dad said I had a great imagination. Even Randy refused to be scared. He told Mom and Dad how he had scared me with his stupid papier-mâché monster head. I practically begged them to believe me, but Mom said I was just lazy. She said I was making up the story about Mr. Mortman so I could get out of reading Rangers and wouldn't have to read any more books this summer. When she said that, I got really insulted, of course. I yelled something back, and it ended up with all of us growling and snapping at each other, followed by me storming up to my room. Slumped unhappily on my bed, I thought hard about my predicament. I could see that they were never going to believe me. I had told too many monster stories, played too many monster jokes. So, I realized, I needed someone else to tell my parents about Mr. Mortman. I needed someone else to see Mr. Mortman become a monster. I needed someone else to believe the truth with me. Aaron. If Aaron came along with me and hid in the library and saw Mr. Mortman eat flies and turtles with his bulging head, then Aaron could tell my parents. They'd have to believe Aaron. They had no reason not to believe Aaron. He was a serious, no-nonsense guy. My most serious, no-nonsense mend.
I think they mean friend, but, I, maybe that's a word for homie. I'm not up with the kids, you know? I don't know what they're saying nowadays. I don't, you know, they all run around with their Justin Biebers, you know? Not me. I see fucking pee.
Aaron was definitely the answer to my problem. Aaron would finally make my parents realize the truth about Mr. Mortman. I called him immediately. I told him I needed him to come and hide in the library and spy on Mr. Mortman.
When? He asked. At your next Reading Rangers meeting, you fucking loser.
No, I can't wait a whole week, I said, whispering into the phone, even though my parents were downstairs and there was no one around. How about tomorrow afternoon, just before closing time, around 5?
It's too dumb, Aaron insisted. I don't think I want to. I'll pay you, I blurted out.
How much? He asked. What a friend. $5, I said reluctantly. I never saved much of my allowance. I wonder if I still have $5 in my drawer.
Well, okay, Aaron agreed.
$5 in advance.
And you'll hide with me and then tell my parents everything you see? I asked.
Yeah, okay, but I still think it's dumb.
He was silent for a moment. And what if we get caught? he asked after a while. "We'll be careful," I said, feeling a little chill of fear. See, this is where I normally read the chapter names. Except for stupid Nick read his one, his Night of the Living Dummy. And he can sing properly and isn't tone deaf and a talented musician and all that stuff. So now I don't even want to sing him. See what he ruined for all of you? I'll try to get some auto-tune by next time so I can just T-Pain my way through it. But until then... Chapter 13. I spent most of the day hanging around teasing Randy. I couldn't wait for the afternoon to roll around. I was so excited and nervous. I had it all worked out. Aaron and I would sneak into the main reading room without Mr. Mortman knowing anyone had come in. We'd hide in the dark shelves, just as I had done. Then, when the librarian turned off the lights and closed up the library, we'd sneak up the aisle, keeping in the shadows, and watch him become a monster. Then, we wouldn't run out the way I had done. That was far too risky. We would go back to our hiding place in the low shelves and wait for Mr. Mortman to leave. Once he was gone, Aaron and I would let ourselves out of the library and hurry to my house to tell my parents what we had seen. Easy, nothing to it, I kept telling myself. But I was so nervous, so eager to get it over with. I arrived at Aaron's house an hour early. I rang the bell. No answer. I rang it again. Finally, after a long wait, Aaron's teenage brother, Bert, pulled open the door. He had on blue denim shorts and no shirt. I finally went through puberty at that moment. "Hi," he said, scratching his hot chest. "You looking for Aaron?" "Yeah," I nodded. "He isn't home." "Huh?" I practically fell off the porch, slipped off on my own puddle of juices. Damn it. Oh, God. How do I change a podcast to explicit? Anyway. "Where is he? I mean, when will he be back?" "Don't know. He went to the dentist," Bert said, gazing past me to the street. "He did?" "Yeah, he had an appointment with the orthodontist. He's getting braces. Didn't he tell you?" "No," I said glumly. I could feel my heart sink to my knees. "I was supposed to meet him." "Guess he forgot," Bert said with a shrug. "You know Aaron. He never remembers stuff like that." "Well, thanks," I muttered unhappily. I said goodbye and trudged back down to the sidewalk. I took one last glance at his body. He looked like Taylor Lautner. You know, he plays Jacob in Twilight. God, I love Twilight. That dirty traitor. I felt betrayed. I had waited all day. I was so psyched for spying on Mr. Mormon. I had counted on Aaron, and all the while, he had a stupid orthodontist appointment. "I hope your braces really hurt," I shouted out loud. I kicked a small rock across the sidewalk. I felt like kicking a lot of rocks. I felt like kicking Aaron in his stupid fucking crooked teeth. I turned and headed home, thinking all kinds of ugly thoughts. I was at the bottom of my driveway when an idea popped in my head. I didn't need Aaron, I suddenly realized. I had a camera. My parents had given me a really good camera last Christmas. If I sneaked into the library with the camera and took a few snapshots of Mr. Mortman after he'd become a monster, the photos would be all the proof I needed. My parents would have to believe actual color photo snaps, dah, dah, dah. Forgetting my disappointment about Aaron, I hurried up to my room and pulled the camera off the shelf. I already had film in it. I had taken a bunch of shots of Randy's stupid birthday party just before school let out. I examined it carefully. There were still 8 or 9 shots left on the roll. That would be plenty to capture Mr. Mortman at his ugliest. I glanced at the clock on my desk. It was still early, a little after 4:30. 4:20. I had a half an hour before the library closed. "This has got to work," I said out loud, crossing my fingers on both hands. Then I strapped the camera around my neck and headed to the library. I entered the library silently and crept to the doorway of the main reading room. My plan was to sneak into the low shelf where I had hidden before, but I quickly saw that it wasn't going to be as easy as I thought. The library was very crowded. There were several kids in the children's book section. There were people thumbing through magazines. One of the One of the pre-internet machines was being used against one wall, and several aisles, including the one with the special hiding place, had people in them, browsing and searching the shelves. I'll just have to wait them out, I decided, turning and pretending to search one of the back shelves. I could see Mr. Mortman standing behind his desk. He was checking out a stack of books for a young woman, opening the covers, stamping the card, then slamming the covers shut. It was nearly 5 o'clock. Just about closing time, I crept along the back wall, searching for another hiding spot. Near the corner, I spotted a large wooden cabinet. I recognized it as I stepped behind it and lowered myself from view. It was the long, tall cabinet that held the card catalog. It'll hide me quite nicely, I thought. I hunched down behind the old cabinet and waited. Time dragged by. Every second seemed like an hour. At 5:15, Mr. Mortimer was still checking out books for people. He had announced closing time, but some of the magazine readers seemed very reluctant to leave. They need to know their local gossip. Did you know that Heidi Montag got another boob job? What is Spencer thinking? Does he like that kind of thing? Those kind of novelty boobs? I mean, come on, Spencer Pratt. Am I right? Yeah. Creepy flesh-colored beard. At 5:15, Mr. Mortman was still checking out books for people. He announced closing time, but some of the magazine readers seemed very reluctant to leave. God damn it, I already read that and made stupid Heidi and Spencer jokes. I felt myself getting more and more nervous. My hands were ice cold. The camera suddenly seemed to weigh 1,000 pounds, like a dead weight around my neck. I removed it and dropped it to my lap. It will all be worth it, I kept repeating myself. It will all be worth it if I get a good, clear shot of the monster. I leaned against the back of the cabinet and waited. My hand gripped in the camera on my lap. Finally, the room emptied out. I climbed to my knees, suddenly very alert. As I heard the librarian go to lock the front door, a few seconds later, I heard him return to his desk. I stood up and peered around the side of the cabinet. He was busily shuffling papers, straightening his desk for the night. In a few minutes, I hoped it would be feeding time, monster time. Taking a deep breath, I gripped the camera tightly in one hand and, feeling my heart start to pound, began to make my way silently towards Mr. Morton's desk at the front of the room. Is it just me or am I reading this very horribly and making the whole experience disappointing for you? Chapter 14, Nick. This is me not singing them at Nick. Chapter 14. Everything seemed to be taking so long today. Was time really in slow motion, or did everything seem so slow because my pulse was racing so fast? I was so eager to get my proof and to get out of there. But Mr. Mortman was taking his good old time. He shuffled through a stack of papers, reading some of them, folding some of them in half, and tossing them in the wired trash basket beside his desk. He hummed to himself as he read through the entire stack. Finally, he got to the bottom of the pile and tossed the final sheet away. Now, I thought, now you'll start your monster routine, won't you, Mr. Mortman? But no, he lifted a stack of books from his desk and carried them to the shelves. Humming loudly, he began returning the books to their places. I pressed myself into the shadows, hoping he wouldn't come to my row. I was near the far wall in front of the row of microfiche? God damn that word, machines. Please, let's get on with it, I begged silently. But when he finished with the first stack, Mr. Morton returned to his desk and hoisted up another pile of books to replace. Who reads this much? I'm going to be late for dinner, I realized with growing sense of dread. My parents are going to kill me. The thought made me chuckle. Here I was, locked inside this creepy old library with a monster. And I was worried about getting scolded for being late for dinner. I'm so stupid. No wonder I'm a woman. Girl, whatever. I could hear Mr. Mortman, but I couldn't see him. He was somewhere among the rows of shelves replacing books. Suddenly, his humming grew louder. I realized he was in the next aisle. I could see him over the tops of the shelves to my right. And that meant he could see me. Gripped with panic, I ducked and dropped to the floor. Had he heard me? Had he seen me? I didn't move. I didn't breathe. He continued to hum to himself. The sound grew fainter as he moved into the other direction. Letting out a silent sigh of relief, I climbed back to my feet. Gripping the camera tightly in my hand, I peered around the side of the shelf. I heard his shoes shuffling along the floor. He reappeared, his bald head shiny in the late afternoon sunlight from the window, and made his way slowly to his desk. The clock on the wall ticked noisily. My hand gripping the camera was cold and clammy. Watching him shuffle things around inside his desk drawer, I suddenly lost my nerve. This is stupid, I thought. A really bad idea. I'm going to get caught. As soon as I step out to snap the picture, he'll see me. He'll chase after me. He won't let me get out of the library with this camera. He won't let me get out of the library alive. Turn and run, a voice inside my head commanded. Quick, while you have the chance, turn and run. Then another voice interrupted that one. "He's going to turn into a monster tonight, Lucy," the voice said. "You're not wasting your time. You're getting yourself all nervous and scared for no reason." Then another voice appeared in my head. "Buy Dune Reads Goosebumps merchandise." My mind was spinning, whirring with voices and frightening thoughts and merchandising deals. I leaned hard against the wooden shelf, steadying myself. I closed my eyes for a moment, trying to clear my head. "How many shots can you take?" a voice in my head asked. "Can you shoot off 3 or 4 before he realizes what's happening?" "You only need one good shot," another voice told me. "One good, clear shot will be proof, all the proof you need." "You better hope he's humming very loudly," another voice asked. Fucking said. God, I cannot read right now. I might stop. "Otherwise, he'll hear your camera shutter click. Turn and run," another voice repeated. "Turn and run! Buy some merch! You only need one good shot." Heyo! It is now May 10th, 2010. I had to quit reading then, you know? I literally could not read, so let's hope this one goes better. I am drinking some boxed sunset blush wine out of a petal bear mug. This is not getting off to a good start. Let's do this. Let me. "You only need one good shot. Don't let him hear your shutter click." I stepped forward and peered around the shelf. Mr. Mortman, humming happily away, was reaching for the fly jar. "Yes!" I cried silently. "Finally!" "Dinner time, my timid friends," I heard him say in a pleasant sing-song. And as he started to unscrew the jar lid, his head began to grow. His eyes bulged, his mouth twisted open and enlarged. In a few seconds, his monstrous head was bobbing above his shirt. His snake-like tongue flicked out of the back of his mouth as he removed the jar lid and pulled out a handful of flies. "Dinner time, my timid friends." "Picture time," I thought. Gathering my courage, I raised the camera to my eye with a trembling hand. I gripped it tightly with both hands to keep it from shaking. Then, holding my breath, I leaned as far forward as I could. Mr. Mortman was downing his first handful of flies, chewing noisily, humming as he chewed. I struggled to center him in the viewfinder. I was so nervous. The camera was shaking all over the place. "I'm so glad he's humming," I thought, raising my finger to the shutter button. "He won't hear the camera click. I'll be able to take one more shot. Okay, also be able to take more than one shot. Okay, okay." He was still enjoying his first batch of tender flies. "Now," I told myself. I was about to push the button when Mr. Mortman suddenly turned away with a gasp. Gasp! I stopped myself just in time. My pulse was pounding at my temples so hard. I could barely see straight. What was he doing? He was reaching for another jar. He set it down on his desk and unscrewed the lid. I raised the camera again and squinted at him through the viewfinder. What did he have in this jar? Something was fluttering in there. It took me a while to realize that there were moths, white moths. One time I knew a girl, I didn't know her, I met her one time, but she was really awful. But anyway, she had a terrible, terrible lisp, more so than me. And she was talking about moths, and she was like, "Those moths." I can't do it justice. Anyway, inside the jar were white moths. He closed his fist around one and shoved it hungrily into his mouth. Another moth fluttered out of the jar before he could close the lid. Mr. Mortman's eyes bulged like toadstools growing out of his balloon-like head. His mouth twisted and coiled as he chewed the moth. Taking another deep breath and holding it in, I leaned forward as far as I could, steadied the camera in front of my eye, and snapped the shutter. All right, maybe I'm doing a little better. All right, none of this junior varsity shit. Let's do this. Chapter 15. The flash! I had forgotten the flash! I was so worried about the click of the shutter, I had totally forgotten that the camera had automatic flash. The instant flash of white light made Mr. Mortman cry out angrily.
Startled, he raised his hands to cover his bulging eyes. I stood frozen in the aisle, frozen by carelessness, frozen by my own stupidity. "Who's there?" he growled, still covering his eyes. I realized he hadn't seen me yet. Those big eyes must have been very sensitive to light. The flash had momentarily blinded him. He let out a monstrous roar that echoed off the four walls of the vast room. Somehow, I revived my senses enough to pull myself back out of view. "Who's there?" he repeated, his voice a raspy snarl. "You won't get away." I saw him lumbering in my direction as he lurched toward me. His body swayed awkwardly, as if his eyes were still blinded. I gaped in horror as he approached. He seemed steadier with each step. His bulging eyes searched the rows of shelves. He was breathing hard, each breath a furious growl. "Who's there? Who's there?"
How many voices have I given Mr. Mortman so far? This is inconsistent.
"Get going," I told myself, still gripping the camera in both hands. "Get going, what are you waiting for?"
"You won't get away,"
the monster cried. "Oh yes, I will." He was three rows away, his eyes peering down the dark aisles, searching, searching. He hadn't seen me, I knew. The light of the flash had startled him, then blinded him. He didn't know it was me. Now, all I had to do was run. All I had to do was get the fuck out of there with the proof of safely in my hands. So what was I waiting for? He lumbered closer. He was only a row away. "Run!" I ordered my paralyzed legs. "Run! Don't just stand there." I spun around, clumsily bumped into a shelf of books. Several books toppled to the floor. "Run! Don't stop!" It was taking me so long to move. I was so weighed down by my fear. "Run, Lucy, he's right behind you." Finally, my legs started to cooperate. Holding the camera in one hand, I began to run through the dark aisle towards the back of the room.
"You won't get away,"
the monster bellowed from the next aisle.
"I hear you. I know where you are."
Now I sound like an orc from Warcraft 2.
"Zug, zug, we're being attacked!"
Yeah, that was kind of good. No?
Uttering an animal cry of terror, I ran blindly to the end of the aisle, turned toward the doorway, and crashed into a low book cart. The cart toppled over as I fell on top of it. I landed hard on my stomach and knees. The camera bounced from my hand and slid across the floor.
"I've got you now," the monster growled, moving quickly from the next aisle.
Chapter 16. I scrambled to get up, but my leg was caught in the cart. The monster lumbered toward me, panting loudly. Once again, my fear tried to paralyze me. I tried to push myself up with both hands, but my body felt as if it weighed 1,000 pounds. I'm dead meat, I thought. Finally, I pushed myself up and freed myself from the cart. Dead meat. Dead meat. The panting, growling monster was only a few yards away, lurching out of a row of shelves. I grabbed the camera and stumbled to the door, my knee throbbing, my head whirring. I'll never make it. Never. And then I heard the loud electronic ringing. At first, I thought it was an alarm, but then I realized it was the telephone. I pulled myself into the doorway and turned. The monster hesitated at the end of the aisle, his bulbous black eyes floating up at his face. His gaping mouth, drooling green liquid, twisted into an O of surprise. He stopped short, startled by the sudden interruption.
"Saved by the bell," I thought happily, like the television program. "Saved by the bell."
I pulled open the heavy front door and burst out to the freedom. I ran for 2 blocks, my sneakers slapping the pavement, my heart refusing to slow its frantic beat. I closed my eyes as I ran, enjoying the feel of the warm, fresh air on my face, the warmth of the late afternoon sun, the sweep of my hair flying behind me as I ran, feeling free, free and safe. When I opened my eyes and slowed my pace, I realized that I was gripping the camera so tightly my hands hurt. My proof. I had my proof. One snapshot. One snapshot that nearly cost me my life. But I had it in the camera. My proof that Mr. Mortman was a monster. I have to get it developed. I have to get my chest developed while I'm at it. I said out loud, "Fast!" I jogged the rest of the way home, cradling the camera under my arm. As my house came into view, I had a chilling feeling that Mr. Mortman would be waiting there, that he would be waiting beside the front porch, waiting to grab the camera from me, to rob me of my proof. I hesitated at the bottom of the driveway. No one there. Was he hiding in the bushes? Around the side of the house? I walked up the front lawn slowly. You're being stupid, I scolded myself. How could Mr. Mortman get here before you? Besides, I wasn't even sure you'd recognize me. The lights were out in the library. The room was dark. The closest he had come to me was the aisle next to mine, and he was blinded for so long by the flash of the camera. I started to breathe a little easier. Yes, it was possible that the librarian didn't know who he was chasing. It was possible he'd never got a good look at me at all. My dad's car pulled up the driveway as I reached the front porch. I went tearing after him, running around the side of the house to the back. Dad, hi! I called as he climbed out of his car. Hey, how's it going? He asked. His suit was rumpled. His hair was disheveled. He looked tired. Dad, can we get this film developed right away? I demanded, shoving the camera toward him. Whoa, he cried. I just got home. Let's talk about it at dinner, okay? No, Dad, really, I insisted. I have to get this developed. There's something very important on it. He walked past me toward the house, his shoes crunching over the gravel driveway. I followed right behind, still holding my camera up high. Please, Dad, it's really important. Really, really important. He turned, chuckling. What have you got? A picture? Sure, that boy who just moved across the street. No, I replied angrily. I'm serious, Dad. Can't you take me to the mall? There's that 1 hour photo developing place there. What's so important? He asked, his smile fading. He ran a hand over his head, smoothing down his thick black hair. I had the urge to tell him. I had the urge to tell him I had a photo of a monster in there, but I stopped myself. I knew he wouldn't believe me. I knew he wouldn't want to take me seriously, and that he wouldn't drive me to the mall to get any film developed. No way. I'll show it to you when it's developed, I said. He held open the screen door. He walked into the kitchen. Dad sniffed the air a couple times, expecting the aroma of cooked food. Mom came bursting in from the hallway to greet us. Don't sniff, she told my dad. There's nothing cooking. We're eating out tonight. Great, I cried. Can we eat at the mall? At that Chinese restaurant you like? I turned to my dad. Please, please. Then I could get my film developed while we eat. I could go for Chinese food, Mom said thoughtfully. Then she turned her gaze on me. Why so eager to get your film developed? It's a secret, Dad said before I could reply. She won't tell. I couldn't hold it in any longer. It's a picture I snapped of Mr. Mortman, I told him excitedly. It's proof that he's a monster. Mom rolled her eyes. Dad shook his head. It's proof, I insisted. Maybe when you see the photo, you'll finally believe me. You're right, Dad said sarcastically. I'll believe it when I see it. Randy, hurry downstairs, Mom shouted into the hallway. We're going to the mall for Chinese food. Ah, do we have to have Chinese food? My brother called down unhappily, his standard reply. I'll get you the plain lo mein noodles like you like, Mom called up to him. Just hurry, we're all hungry. I pushed the button on my camera to rewind the roll of film. I'm going to drop this at the 1 hour developing place before dinner, I told them. Then we can pick it up after dinner. No monster talk at dinner tonight. Promise? Mom said sternly. I don't want you scaring your little brother. Promise, I said, pulling the film roll out of the camera, squeezing it between my fingers. After dinner, I told myself I won't have to talk about monsters. I'll show you one. Dinner seemed to take forever. Randy didn't stop complaining the whole time. He said his noodles tasted funny. He said that the spare ribs were too greasy and the soup was too hot. He spilled his glass of water all over the table. God, I never want to have kids. I barely paid any attention to what anyone said. I was thinking about my snapshot. I couldn't wait to see it and to show my mom and dad. I could just imagine the looks on their faces when they saw that I was right. That I hadn't been making it up. That Mr. Mortman really was a monster. I imagine both my parents apologizing to me, promising that they'd never doubt me again. I feel so bad, I imagine my dad saying. I'm gonna buy you that computer you've been asking for. And new back! I imagine my mom saying, please forgive us for doubting you. And I'm sorry too, I imagine Randy saying. I know I've been a real jerk.
That's all children have speech impediments.
And you can stay up till midnight every night from now on, even on school nights, I imagine my dad saying. Suddenly, my mom's voice broke into my daydreams. Lucy, I don't think you heard a word I said, she scolded. No, I was thinking about something, I admitted. I was picking up my chopstick and raising a chunk of rice to my mouth. She was thinking about monsters, Randy cried, raising both hands up over the table, squeezing his fingers as if they were a monster about to attack me. No monster talk, Mom insisted sharply. Don't look at me, I cried. He said it, not me. I pointed an accusing finger at Randy. Just finish your dinner, Dad said quietly. He had spare rib grease all over his chin. Finally, we were opening our fortune cookies. Mine said something about waiting for sunshine when the clouds part. I never get those fortunes. Dad paid the check. Randy nearly spilled another glass of water as we were standing up. I went running out of the restaurant. I was so excited, so eager, I couldn't wait another second. The little photo store was on the upper level. I leapt onto the escalator, grabbing the rail, and rode up to the top. Then I tore into the store, up to the counter, and called breathlessly to the young woman at the developing machine. Are my photos ready yet? She turned, startled by my loud voice. I think so. What's your name? I told her. She walked over to the rack of yellow envelopes and began shuffling through them. I tapped my fingers nervously on the countertops, staring at the stack of yellow envelopes. Couldn't she hurry it up a little? She shuffled all the way through the stack, then turned back at me. What did you say your name was again? Trying not to sound too exasperated, I told her my name again. I leaned eagerly on the countertop, my heart pounding, and stared at her as she began once again to shuffle through the yellow envelopes, moving her lips as she read the names. Finally, she pulled one out and handed it to me. I grabbed it and started to tear it open. That's gonna cost you $14 even, she said. I realized I didn't have any money. I'll have to get my dad, I told her, not letting go of the precious package. I turned, and Dad appeared at the doorway. Mom and Randy waited outside. He paid. I carried the envelope of photos out of the store. My hands were shaking as I pulled it open and removed the snapshots. Lucy, calm down, my mom said, sounding worried. I stared down at the snapshots. All photos of Randy's birthday party. I sifted through them quickly, staring at the grinning faces of Randy's stupid fucking little friends. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Of course, it was the very last photo. The one at the bottom of the stack. Here it is, I cried. Mom and Dad leaned forward to see over my shoulder. The other photos fell from my hand and scattered over the floor as I raised the photo to my face and gasped. I'm going to take a little break here. Take care of some personal business, if you don't mind. Gotta check to see if I'm going to jury duty tomorrow, okay? So just bear with me, okay? It's a public service that I do for you. Sometimes I gotta do a public service to the man, okay? Let's see what we got going on here. Call in some jury duty. Yes, seeing if I'm going to serve.
Thank you for calling the Advanced Jury Information System of the U.S. District Court, Southern District of California. For updated reporting instructions or to obtain the status of a request for a deferral or for an excuse, please press 1. Please enter your 9-digit participant number located just above your name and address on your summons. The first three letters of your last name are...
Murderous!
C. Please press 1. If not, please call again Sunday, May 16th, after 6 p.m.
Are you... Oh, motherfucker. I don't have to go tomorrow, which is good, but I have to call again on Sunday. What a Jerry Nooney.
Chapter 17. The photo was clear and sharp. Mr. Mortman's large desk stood in the center in a burst of bright light. I could see papers on the desk, the pan of turtles at the far corner, a low pile of books. Behind the desk, I could see the top of Mr. Mortman's tall wooden stool. And behind the stool, the shelves were in clear focus, even the glass jar of flies on the lower shelf. But there was no monster, no Mr. Mortman, no one in the snapshot at all. He was standing right there, I cried, beside the desk. The room looks empty, Dad said, staring down over my shoulder at the snapshot in my quivering hand.
There's no one there, Mom said, turning her gaze on me.
He was there, I insisted, unable to take my eyes off the photo. Right there! I pointed to where the monster had stood.
Randy laughed. Let me see.
He pulled the photo from my hand and examined it.
I see him, he declared. He's invisible!
It isn't funny, I said weakly. I pulled the photo away from him. I sighed unhappily. I felt so bad. I wanted to sink into a hole in the floor and never come out. He's invisible! Randy repeated gleefully, enjoying his own joke.
Mom and Dad were staring at me, looks of concern on their faces.
Don't you see? I cried, waving the photo in one hand. Don't you see? This proves it. This proves he's a monster. He doesn't show up in photographs.
Dad shook his head and frowned. Lucy, haven't you carried this joke far enough?
Mom put a hand on my shoulder. I'm starting to get worried about you, she said softly. I think you're really starting to believe in your own monster joke.
Can we get ice cream? Randy asked.
I can't believe we're doing this, Aaron complained. Just shut up. You owe me, I snapped.
It was the next evening. We were crouched low, hiding behind the low shrubs at the side of the library. It was a crisp, cool day. The sun was already lowering itself behind the trees. The shadow stretched long and blue over the library lawn.
Motherfucker, I just did that thing where I read like 15 minutes and then I realized I didn't press record.
I owe you? Aaron protested. Are you crazy? You owe me, I repeated. You were supposed to come to the library with me yesterday, remember? You let me down.
He brushed a bug off his freckled nose. Can I help it if I had to go to an orthodontist appointment?
He sounded funny. His words were coming out all sticky. He wasn't used to his new braces yet.
Yes, I insisted. I counted on you and you let me down. And you got me in all kinds of trouble.
What kind of trouble?
He dropped to the ground and sat cross-legged, keeping his head low behind the evergreen shrub.
My parents said I'm never allowed to mention Mr. Mortman or the fact that he's a monster, I told him.
Good, I said. Not good. It means I really need you, Aaron. I need you to see that I'm telling the truth. And tell my parents, my voice broke. They think I'm crazy. They really do.
He started to reply, but he could see that I was really upset, so he stopped himself.
A cool breeze swept past, making the trees all seem to whisper at us. I kept my eyes trained in the library door. It was 5:20, past closing time. Mr. Mortman should be coming out any second.
So we're going to follow Mr. Mortman home? Aaron asked, scratching the back of his neck.
And spy on him at his house? Why don't we just watch him through the library window?
The window is too high, I replied. We have to follow him.
He told me he walks home every evening. I want you to see him turn into a monster, I said, staring straight ahead over the top of the bush. I want you to believe me.
What if I just say I believe you? Aaron said, grinning. Then could we just go home?
I pressed a hand over Aaron's mouth. The library door was opening. Mr. Mortman appeared on the front steps. Aaron and I ducked down lower. I peered through the branches of the shrub. The librarian turned to lock the front door. He was wearing a red and white striped short-sleeved sport shirt and baggy gray slacks. He had a red baseball cap on his bald, stupid head.
Stay far behind, I whispered to Aaron. Don't let him see you.
Good advice, Aaron said sarcastically.
We both shifted onto our knees and waited for Mr. Mortman to head down the sidewalk. He hesitated on the steps, replacing the keys in his pants pocket. Then, humming to himself, he walked down the driveway and turned away from us.
What's he humming about? Aaron whispered.
He always hums. It's that You're the Best Around song. My parents always say I was conceived to it. I don't know what that means, but they're total jerks.
I whispered back. Mr. Mortman was more than half a block away.
Let's go, I said, climbing quickly to my feet. Keeping in the shadows of the trees and shrubs, I began following the librarian. Aaron followed just behind me.
Do you know where he lives? Aaron asked.
I turned back to him, frowning.
If I knew where he lived, we wouldn't have to follow him, would we?
Ah, right. Following someone was a lot harder than I thought. We had to cut through front yards. Some of them had barking dogs. Some had lawn sprinklers going. Some had thick hedges we somehow had to duck through. At every street corner, Mr. Mortman would stop and look both ways for oncoming cars.
What a badass.
Each time I was certain he was going to look over his shoulder, too, and see Aaron and me creeping along behind him.
He lived farther from the library than I had thought. After several blocks, the houses ended, and a bare, flat field spread in front of us.
Mr. Mortman cut through the field, walking quickly, swinging his stubby little fat
arms rhythmically with each step. We had no choice but to follow him across the field. There were no hiding places, no shrubs to duck behind, no hedges to shield us. We were completely out in the open. We just had to pray that he didn't turn around in the middle of the field and see us. A block of small, older houses stood beyond the field. Most of the houses were brick, set close to the street on tiny front yards. Mr. Mortman turned onto a block of these houses. Aaron and I crouched behind a mailbox and watched him walk up to a house near the middle of the block. He stepped onto the small front stoop and fiddled in his pocket for the keys. "We're here," I whispered to Aaron. "We made it."
"My friend Ralph lives on this block, I think," Aaron said.
"Who cares?" I snapped.
"Keep your mind on your business, okay? Not your little faggot boyfriend, Ralph."
We waited until Mr. Mortman had disappeared through the front door of his house, then crept closer. His house was white. Clapboard.
What's clapboard?
Badly in need of a paint job. He had a small rectangle of a front yard with recently cut grass bordered by a single row of tall yellow tiger lilies. Aaron and I made our way quickly to the side of the house where there was a narrow strip of grass that led to the back. The window near the front of the house was high enough for us to stand under and not be seen. A light came on in the window.
"That must be his living room," I whispered.
Aaron had a frightened expression. His freckles seemed a lot paler than usual.
"I don't like this," he said.
"The hard part was following him," I assured Aaron.
"This part is easy. You just suck it up, soldier. We just have to watch through the fucking window."
"But the window is too high," Aaron pointed out. "We can't see anything." He was right. Staring up from beneath the window, all I could see was the living room ceiling.
"We'll have to stand on something," I said.
"Huh? What?" I could see Aaron was going to be no help. He was so frightened his nose was twitching like a bunny rabbit's. I decided if I could keep him busy, maybe I could keep him from totally freaking out and running away. "Go in back, see if there's a ladder or something," I whispered, motioning towards the back of the house. Another light came on, this one in a back window, probably the kitchen, I figured. It was also too high to see into.
"Wait, what about that?" Aaron asked.
I followed his gaze to a wheelbarrow, tilted against the side of the house.
"Yeah, maybe," I said. "Bring it over. I'll try to stand on it."
Keeping his head and shoulders bent low, Aaron scampered over to the wheelbarrow. He lifted it away from the house by the handles, then pushed it into the front window.
God, when was the last time I heard or read the word wheelbarrow? You know, it's not part of my life. I guess that's apartment living.
"Hold it steady," I said. He grabbed the wooden handles, gazing up at me, fearfully.
"You sure about this?"
"I'll give it a try," I said, glancing up at the high window.
Holding onto Aaron's shoulder, I gave myself a boost onto the wheelbarrow. He held firmly to the handles as I struggled to find my balance inside the metal basket part.
"It's kind of tilty," I whispered, pressing one hand against the side of the house to steady myself.
"I'm doing the best I can," Aaron grumbled.
"There. I think I can stand," I said. I wasn't very high off the ground, but I wasn't at all comfortable. A wheelbarrow is a difficult thing to stand on. Somewhere down the block, a dog barked. I hoped he wasn't barking because of Aaron and me. Another dog closer to us quickly joined in. It became a barking conversation. Franklin, you want to get in on this barking conversation?
You want to say something? No?
Really? No, not a word? All right.
A barking conversation.
"Are you high enough? I don't know, dog." "Pull out the stem. Let go of the carb, dog. I'm going to get mad 420.
"Sorry, I don't smoke weed."
"Are you high enough? Can you see anything?" Aaron asked. One hand still pressed against the side of the house. I raised my head and peered into the house through the bottom window.
"Yeah, I can see some," I called down. "There's a big aquarium in front of the window, but I can see most of the living room."
And just as I said that, Mr. Mortman's face loomed inches from mine. He was staring right at me.
Franklin, was that scary?
No.
Franklin's on my lap right now. I was reading the comic last night, Vic and Blood, which is based on the book and movie, actually, A Boy and His Dog. Check it out. It's what the... a lot of the art and scenery and stuff is based on in Fallout 3.
That's a fantastic game.
And it's about a boy and his dog. And then the bond between a guy and his dog while they're killing people in the future, you know?
And that's a strong bond.
Franklin, you want to kill people?
No, he wants to sleep. Chapter 18. I gasped and lost my balance. I toppled to the ground, knocking over the wheelbarrow, landing hard on my knees and elbows. Ow! What happened? Aaron cried, alarmed. He saw me! I choked out, waiting for the pain to stop throbbing. Huh? Aaron's mouth dropped open. We both gazed up at the window. I expected to see Mr. Mortman staring down at us, but no sign of him. I climbed quickly to my feet. Maybe he was looking at his aquarium, I whispered, motioning for Aaron to set up the wheelbarrow. Maybe he didn't see me. What are you going to do? Aaron stammered. Get back up, of course, I told him. My legs were shaking as I climbed back onto the wheelbarrow. I grabbed the window ledge and pulled myself up. The sun had nearly gone down. The darkness outside made it easier to see inside, and I hoped harder for Mr. Mortman to see out. I didn't have the best view in the world, I quickly realized. The aquarium, crowded with colorful tropical fish, blocked my view of most of the room. If only I were a little higher, I thought, I could see over it. But if I had been higher, I realized, Mr. Mortman would have seen me. What's he doing? Aaron asked in a trembling whisper. Nothing. He's... Wait! Mr. Mortman was staring down at the fish. He stood only a few feet from me on the other side of the aquarium. I froze, pressing my hand against the side of the aquarium. He gazed down into his aquarium. A smile formed on his pudgy, ugly face. He had removed the red baseball cap, his bald head looking yellow in the living room lamplight. His mouth moved. He was saying something to the tropical fish in the aquarium. I couldn't hear him through the glass. Then, as he smiled down at his fish, he began to change. He's doing it, I whispered to Aaron. He's turning into a monster! As I watched Mr. Mortman's head inflate and his eyes bulge out, I was filled with all kinds of strange feelings. I was terrified, and I was fascinated. It was exciting to be so close, inches away from a real monster. And I felt so happy and relieved that Aaron would finally see him for himself, that I felt so happy and relieved that Aaron would finally see for himself that I was telling the truth. Then, as Mr. Mortman's mouth grew wider and began to gyrate, a twisting black hole on his swollen, yellow, stupid face, fear overtook me. I froze there, my face pressed against the window, not blinking, not moving. I stared as he reached a hand into the aquarium, his fat fingers wrapped around a slender blue fish, like a sausage wrapped around a
fish.
God damn, I don't have time for analogies. I gotta finish this. He pulled it up and flipped it into his mouth. I could see a long yellow teeth inside the enormous mouth, biting down, chewing on the wiggling fish. Then, as I gaped in growing terror, Mr. Mortman pulled a black snail off the side of the aquarium glass. Holding its shell between his fingertips, he stuffed the snail into his mouth. His teeth crunched down hard on the shell, cracking it. A crack so loud I could hear it through the window glass. My stomach churned. I felt sick. He swallowed the snail, then reached to pull another one off the aquarium glass. I think I'm going to lose my lunch, I whispered down to Aaron. Aaron, I forgot all about him. I was so fascinated by the monster, so excited, so terrified to watch him close up. I had forgotten the whole purpose of being here. Aaron, help me down, I whispered, quick. Still staring through the window, I reached my hand down for Aaron to take it. Aaron, hurry, help me down so you can climb up here. You have to see this. You have to see the monster. He didn't reply. Aaron, I lowered my eyes from the window. Aaron had disappeared.
For some reason, I'm all hunched down reading, and Franklin is resting on the inside of my elbow on the arm where I'm holding the microphone. And it looks just like the user picture for Dune Reads Goosebumps. So if you watch that picture now, it's almost like watching a movie with really shitty animation.
Chapter 19. I felt a stab of panic in my chest. My entire body convulsed in a tremor of cold fear. Where was he? Had he run away? Was Aaron so frightened that he just took off without telling me? Or had something happened to him? Something really bad. Aaron! In my panic, I forgot that I was inches away from the monster and started to shout, Aaron, where the fuck are you? Shh! I heard a whisper from the back of the house. Aaron appeared, making his way quickly toward me along the narrow strip of grass. I'm right here, Lucy. Huh? Where'd you go? He pointed to the back. I thought maybe I could find a ladder or something, you know, so I could see too. You scared me to death, I cried. I returned my glance to the window. Mr. Mortman was sucking a slithering eel into his mouth like a strand of spaghetti. Aaron, quick, help me down.
I instructed, still feeling shaken from the scare of his disappearance. You have to see this, you have to, before he changes back. He's really a monster? Aaron's mouth dropped. You're not joking? Just get up here, I cried impatiently. But as I tried to lower myself onto the ground, the wheelbarrow slid out from under me. It toppled onto its side, the handle scraping against the side of the house. My hand shot up to grab the windowsill. I missed and fell heavily on top of the wheelbarrow. I cried as sharp pain cut through my side. Glancing up, I saw the monster's startled face, goggling down at me through the glass. I scrambled to get up, but the throbbing pain in my side took my breath away. Aaron, help me! But he was already running to the street, his sneakers scraping the grass, his arms stretched straight in front of him, as if trying to grab onto safety. Ignoring the pain in my side, I scrambled to my feet. I took an unsteady step, then another. I shook my head, trying to shake away my dizziness. Then I sucked in a deep breath and started to run, following Aaron toward the street. I had gone about 4 or 5 steps when I felt Mr. Mortman's surprisingly strong hand grab my shoulders from behind.
Oh, my phone's doing shit.
Not now, Fred! God, I don't have time for this! Chapter 20. Once again, I no longer sing the chapters because Nick's a good singer. He's ruined it for me.
So thanks a lot. You've ruined it for everyone, Nick. You have a big nose.
I tried to scream, but no sound came out. He held firmly onto my shoulders. I could feel his hot, wet hands through my t-shirt. I tried to pull away, but he was too strong. He spun me around. His face was back to normal. He squinted at me with those little black eyes, as if he couldn't believe what he was seeing. Lucy, he exclaimed in a scratchy voice. He let go of my shoulders and stepped back. I was panting loudly. I was so frightened my chest felt like it was about to explode. How had he changed back from his monster form so quickly? What was he going to do to me? Lucy, good heavens, I thought you were a burglar, he said, shaking his head. He removed a white handkerchief from his back pocket and wiped his perspiring forehead. So sorry, I stammered. My voice came out in a choked whisper. He balled up the handkerchief between his fat fingers and jammed it back in his pocket. What are you doing here? Well, my heart was pounding so hard I could feel the blood pulse out of my temples. My side still ached from where I'd fallen on the wheelbarrow. I struggled to clear my mind. I had to think of an answer to his question. I had to. Well, I started again, thinking desperately. I came to tell you that I'll be a little late for my Raiding Rangers appointment tomorrow. Yeah, that's it. He narrowed his eyes and stared at me thoughtfully. But why were you looking at me through my window? He demanded. Well, I just, Think, Lucy, think! I didn't know if you were home or not. I just was trying to see if you were there. I mean, so I could tell you about the appointment tomorrow. Staring into his face, trying to sound sincere, I took a step back in case I had to run for it. Did he believe me? Was he buying it? I couldn't tell. He continued to stare at me thoughtfully. He rubbed his chins. You really didn't have to come all the way out here, he said softly. Did you ride your bike? His eyes darted over the small front lawn. No, I walked. I like to walk, I repeated awkwardly. It's getting dark, he said. Maybe you should call your mom or dad to come pick you up. Why don't you come inside and use the phone?
Come inside? Come inside a monster's house? No way, idiot.
No thanks, Mr. Mortman, I said, taking another step backwards towards the street. My parents don't mind if I walk home. It isn't that far, really.
No.
I insist, he said, an odd grin starting across his mole-like face. He motioned towards the house. Come on in, Lucy. The phone is in the living room, he urged. Come on.
I won't bite.
I shuddered. I'd just seen him bite snails and eels. There was no way I was going in that house. I knew that if I went in, chances are I'd never come out.
I've got to go, I said, giving him a wave of one hand.
I could feel the fear creeping up my back, running over my body. I knew if I didn't get away from there, that moment, I'd be frozen by my terror, unable to escape.
Lucy, Mr. Mortman insisted. No, really, bye, Mr. Mortman, I waved again, turned and started jogging the street.
You really shouldn't have come all this way, he called after me in his high, scratchy voice. Really, you shouldn't have.
I know, I thought I shouldn't have. I trotted along the street, turned the corner, and continued down the next block.
Was I really getting away? Was he really letting me go? I couldn't believe he'd bought my lame excuse. Why was he letting me get away? I slowed to a walk. My side still ached. I suddenly had a throbbing headache. Night had fallen. Passing cars had their headlights on. A slender trail of dark cloud drifted over a pale half moon, still low in the purple-gray sky. I was about to cross the street onto the broad, empty field when hands grabbed my shoulders again. I cried out, more of a yelp than a scream. I spun around, expecting to see the monster. Aaron, I cried. I swallowed hard, trying to force down my fear. Where? I waited for you, he said, his voice trembling. His hands were knotted into fists. I looked about ready to burst into tears. Aaron! I've been waiting for you all this time, he said shrilly. Where have you been? I've been so scared. I was back there, I told him. I was ready to call the police or something, Aaron said. I was hiding down the block. You saw him? I asked eagerly, suddenly remembering why we had risked our lives tonight. You saw Mr. Mortman? Aaron shook his head. No, I didn't. I was too far away. But earlier, I said, through the window, when he was a monster, didn't you see then? Didn't you see him eat the snails and the eels? Aaron shook his head. I didn't see anything, Lucy, he said softly. I'm sorry, I wish I had. Big help, I thought bitterly. But now what was I going to do? Mom, you don't understand. I can't go. Lucy, I'm not giving you a choice. You're going, and that's that. It was the next afternoon, a stormy, gray day, and my mom and I were in the kitchen, arguing. I was trying to tell her there was no way I could go to my Reading Rangers meeting in the library, and she was insisting that I had to go. But, Mom, you've got to believe me, I pleaded. I was trying not to whine, but my voice kept creeping higher and higher. Mr. Morton is a monster! I can't go to the library anymore! Mom made a disgusted face and tossed down the dish towel she'd been folding. Do you like how I went from, like, deep voice into falsetto? You know where I got that move? Morrissey! Yeah. So next time you say I can't sing, I sound like the greatest singer of all time. And this charming wrong, this charming man, I contemplate life's complex with tears of the letter wrong tune on the passenger scene. That was This Charming Man off the first Smiths album. No, not a big Morrissey fan? All right, let's just trudge on. You've got to believe me, I pleaded. I was trying not to whine, but my voice kept creaking higher and higher. Mr. Mormon is a monster. I can't go to the library anymore. Mom made a disgusted face and tossed down the dish towel she'd been folding. Lucy, your father and I have had it up to here with your silly monster stories. I'm assuming that she pointed somewhere up high so you could tell the extent that she's had of being frustrated with the monster stories. She turned to face me. Her expression was angry. The fact is, Lucy, dear, that you are a quitter. You never stick with anything. You're lazy. You're fat. You're morbidly obese. That's your problem. Really? It's not the fact that he's a monster. It's the fact that I'm a little overweight. And seriously, it's like 15 pounds overweight, and it's 2010 in America, all right? You know? Just cause I like to get the KFC crazy stacker thing, you know? That's what I eat. That's what I'm into. Mr. Mortman is a monster, I interrupted. That's my problem. Well, I don't care, Mom replied sharply. I don't care if he turns into a drooling werewolf at night. You're not quitting Reading Rangers. You're going to your appointment this afternoon. If I have to take you by the head and walk you there myself. Gee, would I? Would you? I asked. God, it's like my mom is just a low-rent LeVar Burton. Get out of here, Jordy! I'm not reading! The idea flashed into my head that Mom could hide in the stacks and see for herself when Mr. Mortman turned into a monster. But I guess she thought I was being sarcastic. She just scowled and walked out of the kitchen. And so, an hour later, I was trudging up to the stone steps of the old library. It was raining hard, but I didn't take an umbrella. I ain't no nerd. I didn't care if I was drenched. My hair was soaked and matted on my head. I shook my head hard as I stepped into the entryway, sending drops of water flying in all directions. I shivered. More from fear. More from my fear from being back in this frightening place than from the cold. I pulled off my backpack. It was dripping wet, too. How can I face Mr. Mortman? I wondered as I made my way reluctantly into the main reading room. How can I face him after last night? He must surely suspect that I know his secret. He couldn't have believed me last night, could he? I was so furious at my mom for forcing me to come here. I hate parents!
I hope he turns into a monster and chews me to bits, I thought bitterly. That will really teach my mom a lesson. I pictured Mom and Dad and Randy sitting mournfully in our living room, crying their little stupid eyes out, wailing, "If only we believed her! If only we had listened!" Holding my wet backpack in front of me like a shield, I made my way slowly past the long rows of books to the front of the library, or the front of the room. To my relief, there were several people in the library. I saw two little kids with their mothers and a couple of other women browsing in the mystery book section. Great, I thought. I started to feel a little calmer. Mr. Mormon wouldn't dare do anything while the library is filled with people. The librarian was dressed in a green turtleneck today, which really made him look like a big round turtle. He was stamping a stack of books and didn't look up as I stepped close to the desk. I cleared my throat nervously. Mr. Mormon? It took him a long while to look up. When he finally did, a warm smile formed above his chins. "Hi, Lucy. Give me a few minutes, okay?" "Sure," I said. "I'll go dry off." He seems very friendly, I thought, heading over to a chair at one end of the long tables. He doesn't seem angry at all. Maybe he really did believe my story last night. Maybe he really doesn't know what I've seen him turn that I've seen him turn into a monster. Maybe I'll get out of here alive. I sat down at the table and shook some more water from my hair. I stared at the big round wall clock, nervously waiting for him to call me up for our meeting. The clock ticked noisily. Each second seemed to take a minute. The kids with their mothers checked out some books and left. I turned to the mystery section and saw the two women had also cleared out. The librarian and I were the only ones left. Mr. Mortman shoved a stack of books across his desk and stood up. "I'll be right back, Lucy," he said. Another friendly, reassuring smile on his face. "Then we'll have our meeting." He stepped away from his desk, walking briskly, heading to the back of the reading room. I guess he was going to find the bathroom or something. A jagged flash of white lightning flickered across the sky outside the window. It was followed by a drum roll of thunder. I'm losing my ability to read here. I stood up from the table and, carrying my wet backpack by the straps, I started toward Mr. Mortman's desk. "Hey, quick language lesson. You know how you say backpack in Japanese? Baku paku." "What up?" I was halfway to the desk when I heard the loud click. I knew at once he had locked the front door. A few seconds later, he returned, walking briskly, still smiling. He was rubbing his pudgy white hands together as he walked. "Shall we talk about your book?" he asked, stepping up to me. "Mr. Mortman, you locked the front door," I said, swallowing hard. His smile didn't fade. His little eyes locked on mine. "Yes, of course," he said, softly, studying my face. His hands were still clasped together in front of him. "But why?" I stammered. He brought his face close to mine, and his smile faded. "I know why you were at my house last night," he growled into my ear. "I know everything." "But Mr. Mortman, I'm sorry," he said in his throaty growl. "But I can't let you leave, Lucy. I can't let you leave the library."
Oh, no. You know, that's my biggest fear, because the library is full of nerds. Yeah, nerds. All right, now let me get back to making comic references in my bootleg audiobooks of Goosebumps.
Chapter 22. Oh, the sound escaped my lips, a moan of total terror. I stared at him without moving. I guess I wanted to see if he was serious or not, if he meant what he said. His eyes told me he did, and as I stared at him, his head began to inflate. His tiny round eyes shot out of their sockets and grew into throbbing black bulbs. Oh. Again, the terrified sound escaped my lips. My entire body convulsed in a shudder of terror. His head was throbbing now, throbbing like a heart. His mouth opened into a gaping, gruesome leer, and green spittle ran down his quivering chin. "Move," I told myself. "Move, Lucy, do something." His disgusting grin grew wider. His enormous head bobbed and throbbed excitedly. He uttered a low growl of attack and reached out both arms to grab me. "No!" I shrieked. I leaned back and, with all my might, swung the backpack into his flabby stomach.
"Franklin, what are you doing, dude? You gonna leave my lap?" "Okay, goodbye." "Where are you going?"
All right, you just sit there. Fine, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah, I hit him with the backpack. It caught him by surprise. He gasped as it took his breath away. I let go of the backpack, spun around, and started to run. He was right behind me. I could hear his panting breath and low, menacing growls. I ran through a narrow aisle between two tall shelves. A rumble of thunder from outside seemed to shake the room. He was still behind me. Close! Closer! He was going to catch me. He was going to grab me from behind. I reached the end of the row. I hesitated. I didn't know which way to turn. I couldn't think. He roared a monstrous animal sound. I turned left and started to run along the back wall of the room. Another rumble of thunder. Oh, I realized my horror that I'd made a mistake, a fatal mistake. I was running right into the corner. There was no exit here, no escape. He roared again, so loud that it drowned out the thunder. I was trapped. I knew it. Trapped. With a desperate cry, I ran blindly, headlong into the card catalog. Behind me, I heard the monster's roar of laughter. He knew he had won.
Jesus. I should just end it here. I like that. I like it being disappointing. You know what, kiddies? Every part of your life is disappointing. Even your death will be a disappointing. I need to stop listening to so much Elliot Smith.
Chapter 23. The card catalog toppled over. Drawers came sliding out. Cards spilled at my feet, scattering over the floor. No! The monster howled. At first, I thought it was a victory cry, but then I realized it was an angry cry of protest. With a moan of horror, he stooped to the floor and began gathering up the cards. Staring in disbelief, I plunged past him, running frantically, my arms thrashing wildly at my sides. In that moment of terror, I remembered the one thing that librarians hate most: having cards from the card catalog spilled on the floor.
Oh my god, if this happened today though, and they had all the computer systems, she'd be fucked.
Mr. Mortman was a monster, but he was also a librarian. He couldn't bear to have those cards in disorder. He had to try to replace them before chasing after me. It took only seconds to run in the front of the entryway, turn the lock, open the door, and flee into the rain. My sneakers slapped the pavement as I ran, sending up splashes of rainwater. I made my way to the street and was halfway up the block when I realized he was chasing after me. A flash of lightning crackled to my side. I cried out, startled, as a deafening burst of thunder shook the ground. I glanced back to see how close the monster was and stopped. With trembling hands, I frantically brushed up a glaze of rainwater from my eyes. "Aaron," I cried, "what are you doing here?" He ran up to me, hunching against the cold rain. He was breathing hard. His eyes were wide and frightened. I was in the library, stammered, struggling to catch his breath, hiding. I saw the monster. I saw everything. You did? I was so happy. I wanted to hug him. I wanted to have my first kiss. I wanted to touch me in the... A sheet of rain swept over us, driven by the gust of wind. "Let's get to my house," I cried. "You can tell my parents. Now maybe they'll have to believe us. Aaron and I burst into the den. Mom looked up from the couch, lowering the newspaper to our lap. "You're dripping on the rug," she said. "Where's Dad? Is he home yet?" I asked, rainwater running down my forehead. Aaron and I were soaked from head to foot. "Here I am," he appeared behind us. He had changed out of his work clothes. "What's all the excitement?" It's about the monster," I blurted out. "Mr. Mortman, he..." Mom shook her head and started to raise a hand to stop me, but Aaron quickly came to my defense. "I saw him too," Aaron exclaimed. "Lucy didn't just make it up. It's true." Mom and Dad listened to Aaron. I knew they would. He told them what he had seen in the library. He told them how the librarian had turned into a monster and chased me into the corner. Mom listened intently to Aaron's story, shaking her head. "I guess Lucy's story is true," she said when Aaron had finished. "Yeah, I guess it is," Dad said, putting a hand gently on my shoulder. "Well, now that you finally believe me, what are you going to do, Dad?" I demanded. He gazed at me thoughtfully. "Well, we'll invite Mr. Mortman for dinner," he said. "Huh?" I goggled at him, rainwater running down my face. "You'll what?" "He tried to gobble me up. You can't invite him here," I protested. "You can't." "Lucy, we have no choice," Dad insisted. "We'll invite him for dinner." Oh, God, parents just don't understand. Chapter 24. Mr. Mortman arrived a few evenings later, carrying a bouquet of flowers. He was wearing lime green trousers and a bright yellow short-sleeved sport shirt. Mom accepted the flowers from him and led him into the living room where Dad, Randy, and I were waiting.
I gripped the back of a chair lightly as he entered. My legs felt rubbery, erased, huh? It says, and raced, and my stomach felt as if I'd swallowed a heavy rock. Typos. I still couldn't believe that Dad had invited Mr. Mortman into our house. Dad stepped forward to shake hands with the librarian. We've been meaning to invite you for quite a while, Dad told him, smiling. We want to thank you for the excellent reading program at the library. Yes, Mom joined in. It's really meant a lot to Lucy. Mr. Mortman glanced at me uncertainly. I could see that he was studying my expression. I'm glad, he said, forcing a tight-lipped smile. Mr. Mortman lowered himself onto the couch. Mom offered him a tray of crackers with cheese on them. He stood up, he took one and chewed on it delicately. Randy sat down on the rug. I was still standing behind the armchair, gripping the back of it so tightly my hands ached. I had never been so nervous in all my life. Mr. Mortman seemed nervous, too. When my dad handed him a glass of iced tea, Mr. Mortman spilled a little on his trousers. It's such a humid day, he said. This iced tea really hits the spot. Being a librarian must be interesting work, Mom said. Was she lying? Taking a seat beside Mr. Mortman on the couch. Dad was standing on the side of the couch. They chatted for a while. As they talked, Mr. Mortman kept darting glances at me. Randy, sitting cross-legged on the floor, drummed his fingers on the carpet. Mom and Dad seemed calm and perfectly at ease. Mr. Mortman seemed a little uncomfortable. He had glistening beads of perspiration on his shiny, round forehead. My stomach growled loudly, more from nervousness than from hunger. No one seemed to hear it. The three adults chatted a while longer. Mr. Mortman sipped his iced tea. He leaned back on the couch and smiled at my mother. It was so kind of you to invite me to dinner. I don't get too many home-cooked meals. What's for dinner? He asked. You are, my dad told him, stepping in front of the couch. What? Mr. Mortman raised a hand behind his ear. I didn't hear you correctly. What's for dinner? You are, my dad repeated. Oop. Mr. Mortman let out a little cry and turned bright red. He struggled to raise himself from the low couch, but Mom and Dad were too fast for him. They both pounced on him. Their fangs popped down, and they gobbled the librarian up in less than a minute. Bones and all. Randy laughed gleefully. I had a big smile on my face. My brother and I haven't gotten our fangs yet. That's why we couldn't join in. Well, that's that, Mom said, standing up and straightening the couch cushion. Then she turned to Randy and me. That's the first monster to come to Timberland Falls in nearly 20 years, she told us. That's why it took us so long to believe you, Lucy. You sure gobbled him up fast, I exclaimed. In a few years, you'll get your fangs, Mom said. Me too, Randy declared. Then maybe I won't be afraid of monsters anymore. Mom and Dad chuckled. Then Mom's expression turned serious. You both understand why we had to do that, don't you? We can't allow any other monsters in town. It would frighten the whole community, and we don't want people to get frightened and chase us away. We like it here. Dad burped loudly. Pardon me, he said, covering his mouth. Later that day, I was upstairs in Randy's room. He was all tucked in, and I was telling him a bedtime story. And so the librarian hid behind the tall bookshelf, I said in a low, whispery voice. And then the little boy named Randy reached up to pull a book down from the shelf. The librarian stuck his long arms to the shelf and grabbed the boy. And, Lucy, how many times do I have to tell you? I glanced up to see Mom standing in the doorway, a frown on her face. I don't want you frightening your little brother before bedtime, Mom scolded. You'll give him nightmares. Now come on, Lucy. No more monster stories. Holy shit, that was... For the end, first off. That was the best Goosebumps ending ever so far, as of the ones I've read. That had a big twist. It was interesting. The girl was a monster all along and knew she knew it. This is good stuff. But it gets me thinking. The girl's parents were monsters, and the librarians were monsters. Hold up, I need to activate some speakerphone for this one. Parent and librarian monsters.
Hey.
Hello, mother.
Why are you saying like that?
I just finished reading Into the Old Dune Reads Goosebumps, a story called The Girl Who Cried Monster. And the girl, she found out that both the librarian and her mom was a monster.
No way.
Are you a monster? Because you're both of those things. You could be a double monster or a triple monster like a Hydra.
It could be a double monster.
Are you, Mom?
No.
Prove it.
I got new carpet.
What?
No, I'm not, but I got new carpet.
I'm recording this. My listeners are not interested in the carpet. No, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. They're clearly very interested in the carpet. It was a lovely hue.
Yes.
Look, are you a monster or not, Mother?
No.
Is there some sort of test? Here. All right, fine.
Call me tomorrow. If you can come by, it'd be awesome.
All right, I love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. I hope you like the flowers I got you.
I like them a lot. Thank you.
All right, God bless.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Well... It's just a story, I guess. My mom's not a monster. Stay spooky, bitches!